sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones, and this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And I want a new gun.
Wow.
Right out of the gate, huh?
Right out the gate.
So,
okay, but Pete, I feel like this like pinky in the brain. What are we going to do tonight, brain? Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world. Like, this is like every week you could open with that, right? Like, does Pete ever not want a new gun? Like, is that ever?
That's true. Thing? That's very true. So the rule in our house, every time I buy a gun, Jamie buys a purse. So I don't tell her I buy a gun.
You just let her get a new purse.
So the other day she's like, oh, I just bought a new purse today. I'm like, I get to buy a new gun? Because I figure it's the reverse is true, right?
Yeah.
If every time I buy a gun, she buys a purse. Well, what if she buys a purse and I get to
what
buy a gun?
What if she just stops telling you?
Well, she goes, well, my purse was only $80 or something like that. And I'm like, what I heard was Pete gets to buy a new gun. That's what I'm taking from this whole conversation.
That's so funny, dude.
Tough. But you know what's funny is I shot way more in California than I do here in Texas.
Say what?
I'll let you do whatever you're doing. You're obviously not paying attention to the podcast. You go right on ahead.
I just got a text that my appointment was at 8:15, and I'm like, oh, crap, it was for tomorrow. It threw me off. Doctor appointment.
Gotcha.
I'm like, I screwed it up again.
It's all gone. Oh, I don't remember. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know, but with Jamie and the gun, I heard that she said it costs $80, and then you said, all I heard was Petey gets a new gun.
And she said if I could get one for $80, and I found someone who'll give me a receipt that says it was $80, so I figure we're all good.
Wait a second. I don't understand why she gets to set the bar. Shouldn't it be like, hey, I bought a gun for $450. If you can give me a receipt for a purse that costs no more than $450, you can buy a purse. Why is this only working one way?
All I know is I just don't say anything anymore. It magically appeared in the safe. I don't know how it got there. It must have tripped and fell in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I paid $80 for this.
Exactly.
Sure. I mean, $80 definitely came out of my account for this gun. Maybe a little more. Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, I think marriage therapy is more expensive than, probably you pay for that gun in the long run, right? I mean, if you think about it like that, maybe not saying anything is a good thing. Hey, guys, just so you know, Pete and I are just screwing around. We're really not trying to give you marriage advice here. Do not follow anything we're saying for marriage advice.
I think of all the people you want to be getting marriage advice from, I don't know that I'm really the guy you want to get it from.
Well, how long have you been married?
It's not saying that I have a bad marriage or anything.
How long have you been married?
Be 26 years this December.
Well, see, you're bucking the trend. You're doing well.
Well, I know, but
people could do worse and follow you for marriage advice.
If you ask me, well, what's your marriage? I don't know.
I remember you telling me early on, you're like, TV every night.
Why talk? No, we just watch TV.
TV is what has prolonged our marriage.
Pre-kids. Literally every Friday night and Saturday night, we went to the movies.
Really?
We saw so many movies. Like, every movie that came out, we saw.
Do you still go on Sundays? Because that was like your unbreakable Pete Mitchell tradition.
Well, see, now I have Luke, so...
You got to take him.
I would, but there are some movies that I want to see that I'm not ready to take him to yet.
Yeah.
And then there are other ones where he's like, he wants to just sit in his room and play video games and watch YouTube videos. So he's old enough where I could leave him.
Isn't that funny? I'll tell my daughters, my 16-year-old, she'll go with me. She'll, like, if I talk to her about daddy-daughter date, yeah, let's go. You know, she, the other day she told me, I have a list. And then, but my 12-year-old, I'll ask her and she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm like, oh.
Like she doesn't want to go to the movies?
Yeah, well, I mean, I tuck her down every night, right? So, like, we get that time every night. She's 12. I hope she lets me tuck her in. I tuck my 16-year-old. Like, there's no age limit. It just, there was only one of dad to go around. But
how come you won't tuck me in? I've been waiting for you to tuck me in.
Hey, have you seen those videos where the guys call, like, one guy calls another guy and says, hey, I just called to say goodnight. Have you seen that? No. First one I saw, it was the best.
The concept of it.
Yeah. Funny. Oh, it's so funny. It starts off with this old guy. He's calling his son-in-law at work. His son works at nights, you know, a night shift or something. He calls his son-in-law. He goes, hey, son. And he goes, oh, hey, dad. I'm at work right now. And he goes, oh, I know. I just was getting ready to, and he's like he has to, like, cover up with money. He's like, I can't do it. And he goes, I just called to say goodnight. And he's like, and he's like, he's trying so hard not to lose it. And at one point he kind of, and the guy goes, you okay? He goes, yeah. Oh, sorry. I just had a sneezing fit. But the guy's like, and he's like, yeah, I just was getting ready to go to bed. And I just thought I'd tell you goodnight. And he's like, well, you know, I'm still working, right? And he's like, yeah, son, I know, but I just thought, you know, like, I would tell you good night. So when you go to bed, you know, I'm wishing you a good night. And it, dude, it's a funny thing because a guy can't get through it without laughing because it's so awkward for a man to, like, it's, there's no place for this in society. And then it's these two black guys, one guy calls his friend goes, what are you talking about? And he goes, oh, you know, man, I just called, you know, to tell you, you know, to, like, kind of wish you a good night. And, like, you know, like, kind of like, you know, like, almost like we're going to go to bed and it's been a day and just wanted to wish you well before we go. And the guy starts cussing and freaking out. What in the bleepity bleep are you calling me for? Wishing me a good night? Don't you ever wish? We I'm going to hang up the phone. And he's like, whoa, hold on. I just, you know, we're friends, you know, we're close, right? We're tight. And I'm just trying to, and the guy is freaked. Don't you ever call, you know, don't call me ever again. Like, he's so weirded out by it. Dude, they're great. If you get a chance, look at them. They're funny as heck.
That's funny. That's
you,
funny.
You don't tell your wife goodnight. You're in big trouble.
Dude, all I know is I'm calling you tonight when I go to bed. Like, 100%, I'm calling you.
You or know, at the it's very too least, bad I told you. I should have just tried it on you. All right, listen, this is what I want everyone to do. We want you guys to call somebody and tell them good night tonight and see what they do. Watch one of these videos.
But
and
we
try
also
it.
Want you to record it
and send it in to us. We'll play it.
We want to be a part of the experience. Stick that sucker on TikTok and then tag us in it, man. I want to see
it. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you put it in, we'll put it on the podcast. Like, we'll literally show up to Smack Talk, and we'll pop it in so you guys can hear it. So send it to us. Where can they email it to, Pete? Where it doesn't go into your trash?
No, all the emails go to the trash. Remember?
Oh, God,
no idea what the email is.
You know what? Find us on social. Find me on Facebook
else for Brooks to do.
Yeah, find me on Facebook and send it in. Brooks is going to edit this part out. He's like, heck no, I ain't doing that. But honestly, if you guys send it in, we'll play it next time during Smack Talk.
You know, it'll be like Tyrone doing it, only he'll be like, and I love you, man. Like, throw that in at the end.
Well, Ty does that, right? Like, he'll call up. Hey, just want to pray for you. How can I pray for you? Which is great. I love it when I get a text.
He'll call me and just say, hey, I'm just calling you to let you know I love you. Because I know you really get weirded out by that. He'll say that to me.
I just want Pete to give you a virtual hug. Are you receiving it right now?
A virtual hug.
Do you feel my arms wrapping around you?
The pastor at my
church. Our body's close. What's that?
The pastor at my church, every Sunday, he's trying to give me a hug because he knows I don't like him.
Really?
Like, dude, I've left churches over this, bro. You need to back off.
Wow. That's
he
great.
Takes it as a, he takes it as like a challenge. I got to figure out how I can hug this guy. And I'm like, yeah. No.
He has rejection issues. See, I accept I have that rejection about you. I'm like, oh yeah, cool.
I have rejection issues. I can't let him in, man. I can't let
no,
him in.
No, not you. Cool. Your pastor's got rejection issues. He's like, me too. You have to me accept too. Me.
I'm protecting myself. That's all it is. It's a protection.
Listen, the thing you got to know about Pete is he rejects everyone equally. He's fair about this. He rejects us all. And I totally, that's what I dig about you, man.
Dude, I remember we were doing a church in the park, Refuge Long Beach. And I don't remember what, I think it might've been our first like barbecue or whatever we call it, breakfast, whatever it was. And like, I gave you like one of those sidearm hugs and you're like, I don't know what to take, man. I don't know what to do right now. You're like, how do I respond?
That was great. We've grown up. Our baby's grown up. Not to imply we had a baby together, but you know what I'm saying? I made it worse. I made it weird. But no, it was kind of like a proud moment, you know, on many fronts. That was a great outreach too.
That changed
things for us. Yeah, it's funny. You could feel when the Spirit was moving in that church, like undoubtedly just feel it. And that kind of takes us into our topic today a little bit, which is evangelism. Oh, wait, we got to do the thing, right?
I wasn't sure. I was like, are we? All right, here we go. Great, Scott. It's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
There you go.
All right. So our topic is evangelism in a distracted age. So we could say the future of evangelism, but we want to talk about now. Like, what should you be doing now as a church planner to evangelize? And I think, you know, it's really interesting, right? Because I finished working on the manuscript of Discipology. Cha-ching. And I wrote that book, but I also wrote a book, which is a journal for the everyday disciple maker. So the ideas that you, as the catalyst, you read the hardback, you know, the big book, because it's more like a leader's guide. But then there's like the everyday disciple maker around you that I'm gunning for. And that's for the journal, right? You're going to take them on that journey. So the people in your church, people in your small group, youth group, whatever, core team, you're going to take them through this journey to become disciple makers, just like Jesus did the 12. But what's interesting, the church growth movement, which is kind of like our grandfather, right? Whatever movement we're in now, I have thoughts on that. But that was evangelism. I mean, evangelism was the thing. Hybels, Rick Warren, all your mega church pastors, they were evangelists. But now things have kind of shifted more towards, I would say, the apostolic. And the fact that you guys are here is the reason why. But evangelism is really important. In fact, it's why Paul tells Timothy in the Ephesus hub, do the work of an evangelist. So the first question we got to ask is, what is the work of an evangelist? What do we see in the scripture that makes the evangelist the evangelist? So Pete, just turning it over to you for a second, not to put you on the spot and ask you, what's the work of an evangelist? But what's your idea? Like when you hear that, do the work of an evangelist, what do you think of?
I see, that's a tough one for me to answer only because, you know, I don't live my life in ministry, right? Like I live my life in the business world doing the stuff that I do with clients and whatnot. And so for me, I think a lot of it is how you deal with your employees, how you deal with your clients, and trying to be not evangelistic in it, but just like trying to be, for lack of a better term, godly in it, like trying not to be a complete jerk, which I want to be most of the time, right? Like, that's my default. My default is be a jerk.
Right.
And not even really, I don't think I'm that way towards employees, but definitely some clients who like annoy me to no end. Like, seriously, dude, like, but that's me, right? That's so for me, evangelism is just like and it's not evangelism, right? That's what I want to be clear on. There's an actual thing called evangelism, but I just, because I'm not in ministry, like it's just like I'm trying to live a life a certain way and treat people a certain way. And it's not evangelism. It might lead to an evangelistic moment, but I don't know if that makes sense. I want to be clear.
It makes total sense. And I'm so glad that you went there, because you brought up a really good distinction, which is what you're describing is I'm a witness, right? So Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're his witness. So when you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to be a jerk, it's not evangelism per se, but it's definitely being a witness to Jesus and his resurrection. You're a witness to the risen Christ. He's still in people's lives. He's still changing them. He's still working his power through to transform us into his image. So, like, you're a witness, right, in the business world. And that is extremely important. So as a church planner, evangelism is a big part of it. So, for example, I'm apostolic. And the difference between the apostolic and the evangelist, the apostolic creates the space for evangelism to happen. So you infiltrate the community, or go back to Refuge Long Beach you were talking about earlier. We created that barbecue, right? The apostolic is always thinking front lines, kind of like the Marines. I'm going to take the beach. And then the evangelist rolls in. He's kind of like when you first picture like the storming of Normandy, right? The apostolic is like the architect, like Eisenhower, Operation Overlord, coming up with, okay, we need to get X amount of troop transports for the amphibious, you know, landing craft, ground assault, yada, yada. We got a parachute, 101st Airborne over, take Pegasus Bridge, yada, yada. We got to get Rangers climbing Pont du Hoc, and they got to take this strategic bunker. So the apostolic is more like a general, like an architect creating the space. And then the evangelist runs. So maybe the evangelist is more like the Marines, where they run in there and they evangelize, because you can't plant a church without evangelism. Evangelism just simply means to proclaim the evangelion. It's that message. It's that good news. And we can see the use of that term, like with you know, the marathon race, right? The guy who ran all the way to tell them the good news of the victory, and then he drops dead, right? That's an evangelist.
Yeah. Which should be a reason why you don't do marathons.
Right?
Damn this, man.
What was it, like 24 miles or something, you know, 23 and a half?
26.2. It's the 0.2
that
kills
you. Is it 26.2? Yeah. So he runs that, and he is the herald. He is the evangel. He is the messenger. And so you cannot have evangelism. Like when people would say stuff like, you know, witness, 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 and in, if necessary, speak. Well, it's not evangelism until you speak. So when people say things like, well, you know, it is evangelism, it's not. Until the message is proclaimed, it's not evangelism. You're thinking apostolic. You're thinking all the stuff you do, kind of like in the book of Acts, right? They did good works to produce goodwill, which produced good favor, which produced an opportunity for the good news. So let me run through that again. They did good works to produce goodwill in the eyes of the people, which opened the doors for the good news. That's the model in Acts. So that good works part that you're thinking, that's apostolic. That's why how you infiltrate into a community. But the evangelism part, you know, how are you? So really, to get us to where we got to be today, how are we going to get the message across in a distracted age? I mean, Pete, like, you're a marketer. This is there's no other topic under the sun that I have learned more from you about than really the idea of evangelism, because you are a marketer. Like that, and I know marketing is a dirty name in the church, right? And it shouldn't be, because your whole thing is to get people's attention, right? Like that's where it starts. So kind of walk me through a little bit, like some marketing principles, because there's such a parallel and people are dumb to ignore. It's not that you have to be a grifter or a sleazy. I learned, just so you guys know, the only reason that I'm here doing what I'm doing is because Pete had a marketing brain and he applied it to what I did. Hey, is there a magazine for church? Hey, is there Pete immediately thought like an evangelist, because that's what marketers think like. The evangelist and the marketer think the exact same. How do I get this message out to as many people as possible? Right. And whereas Pete wants to close a sale, a marketer wants to save a soul. So, Pete, give us some principles, man.
Well, it's interesting that you pose a question like that, because as you're asking that, I'm thinking, okay, you know, what would I do? And I think a lot of what I would do is what I see a lot of people doing already, which is great, right? Because I think we need more of it. But like in today's distracted age, I will fully admit that I am addicted to Instagram reels. Like, dude. How many times are we passing them back and forth, right? Like
YouTube shorts for me. I stay off the gram, but personal reasons.
The problem is, like, I have found myself now, I can't even watch TV.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like trying to watch TV, but I'm looking at my phone. Trying to watch TV, I'm looking at my phone, you know? And it's like, why is it like the short content is so grabbing my attention? And then I go to the next thing, and I go to the next thing, and I go to the next thing, right? And maybe that's part of what it is. But what I see a lot of those guys doing that are doing it in the Christian world. So I watch a lot of reels that are either Mormon related or almost like street preachers, right? And they're like in a public forum, almost like a Charlie Kirk doing his little thing on the college campuses. And sometimes the Christians will be on college campuses doing it, and people will be bringing up their problems and he'll be addressing them. And I love that stuff, because to me, I love that one because of the stuff that I've done with apologetics. And I'm not an apologist, but I was on the board of directors for apologetics.com for, I don't know, 10 years or so. And, by the way, Apologetics Canada was kind of birthed out of apologetics.com and
was
Apologetics
really?
Canada. Yeah. That's, Wes Huff that we've seen has been on Joe Rogan. And so I love watching those clips, right? Cause I'm like, you know, in some ways I almost feel like that's a grandkid, right? Like, hey, because I was doing that stuff with apologetics.com, then apologetics.canada took off. And, you know, you look at Wes Huff, who's just a guy who's part of that, and the influence he's had, been on Piers Morgan, been on.
Ever since that interview with that guy who wrote the book, he wrote books like about the Egyptians. That was his first debate that blew up and went viral.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And so his life took off. So that's all happened within a year. He recently, funny enough, stepped back and did a YouTube video saying, hey, I've got one of my daughters has serious medical and health issues, which I can fully relate to. And he said, I have to take a step back because all this blew up so quick. So he's taking the director position at apologeticscanada.com and staying more grounded and central. So hats off to him, man. I when I saw it, I was like, you know what? I probably more than most, brother, understand what you're going through.
But like, so
other than the viral part
is like, that is almost like playing into the distracted age, right? It's all that, the short form clips and whatnot. And I watch a lot of them on Mormonism. Most of them are ex-Mormons. Every once in a while, the, current Mormons will chime in and like try and, you know, do the counter argument. And what's interesting, because even Jamie was asking about this the other day. So when I watch a lot of the ex-Mormons, most of them have now signed off of all religion completely, right? They're against all forms of religion, Christianity, Islam. Like, it doesn't matter to them. Like, they just see it all as controlling and whatnot. And I remember watching this one guy who's got what I would assume is a podcast. And he's probably one of the bigger names as a former Mormon, an ex-Mormon, if you will. And I remember him doing a video one time on, you know, are Mormons Christians? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, what right do you have to say they're not Christians? And I'm like, yeah, because you see it as all the same, right? You see all religion as the same. And so I watch that stuff, but I'm thinking, you know, in a distracted age, I would play into the distraction. And which I think a lot of Christians are doing. However, I think they need to be careful about it because you and I have talked about this. I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, but we were talking about one of the things that bothers me is when I see Christians attack other Christians and like publicly, but I have no relationship with them. And I'm thinking that this is somehow going to progress the cause of Christ by doing, you know, going after another, like, you know, after James Dobson's died, like, oh my gosh, dude,
wait,
my feed was blown up with how James evil Dobson the dude died? Was. Yeah.
When did this happen?
Like last week? Last
oh,
two
really?
Weeks. Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Oh yeah. Okay. It's been my feed's been blown up with like people who hated him because of how he'd like taught parents to rear their children and, oh, this ruined my life. And, you know, and I'm like, dude, first of all, I get everyone's got their own opinion and whatnot, but I don't know, man. I hate all the negativity.
Right.
Like I would much rather have like a balanced approach of,
right,
hey, you know what? These are some of the things that he said that I don't agree with. These are some of the things that he said that I do agree with. You know what? I think you can have
to label him a pariah or, you know, the devil because he told people they should discipline. I mean, in my house, I don't hit my kids, but I don't hate James Dobson because he did, you know, like hitting your kid out of temper. And that wasn't what Dobson advocated. Dobson was kind of trying to deal with the pendulum swing out of what came out of the hippies, where not only were they not disciplining their kids, a lot of them were giving their kids drugs. I mean, so many of my friends, because my parents were, you know, that hippie age. I wouldn't say my parents were hippies, but they were that age, like Vietnam vets, like that was my parents' generation. And it was like, it was tough, man, growing up with those parents. It was not easy for right. our generation.
No, so and I get
Gen X
that.
Was raised without discipline. Largely.
My only point in bringing all that up is I just don't like when we're going to start attacking. Cause to me, it's almost like we're attacking for the sake of views.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to be an evangelist, I don't think you attack for the sake of views. You know, maybe you've got a good argument, make the argument. Like I love watching J. Warner Wallace, right?
Yeah.
Because he does apologetics. And so he's like bringing out a problem and he's bringing out his answer to that problem.
Yeah.
And I like that kind of thing. Like to me, that's great. But when it's just all straight, let's just, you know, let's go attack this guy. Like I actually saw one the other day that I thought was good. It was a pastor who had a problem with hell being eternal. And so he had his response and he was pointing back to the Bible, why he believed what he believed. And this guy gets on there and he goes, look, I want to be clear. This guy has helped me so much when I was first a Christian and I appreciate everything, but let me tell you why I disagree with him on this. And he actually like dove into like the meanings of the different words and how they were used in the Bible. And he's like, that's why his answer does not mesh, but I still get a lot. And to me, I looked at that and I was like, that's the right way. Like if you disagree with someone,
yeah,
don't be a jerk about it. Like how many times have you and I seen people literally just attack Rick Warren to no end? And they're like, oh, he's, you know, he needs to repent and he's an apostate. And it's like, okay, you disagree with him on like probably one issue. It's usually what it is. One issue.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we're going to like go straight to, you know, he's damned and going to hell because you don't agree on that non-salvation issue? Yep. Really? So,
but this is where you brought up a good point. I mean, we know that the views are generated by controversy.
Right.
And this is one of the things, I mean, I was in a conversation earlier this morning about influencers and, you know, like the camera in the face stuff, right? Like, always got a camera showing me do my good works. And I mean, I remember Jesus saying pretty plainly, do not do your good works to be seen by men. Now, I could argue, hey, but wait a second, Jesus, this is so encouraging for people. You know, I'm out here on the street, I'm sharing the gospel, want people to see it, want them this and that. Like, that's fine. But every time you do that, we're like, hey, I led this person to the Lord, you know, and you got them on your Instagram and you're filming while you're praying for them. What's the difference between me doing that and filming you in my prayer closet? Like, hey, you know, I'm on my knees and I'm crying. I'm, you know, setting the video. I saw this the other day. This is why I'm bringing it up. This is where we're going now. We're going to the place where everything is for show. And I'm not saying it's not sincere when I'm out on the street, but it's also for show. And so we're kind of, this is the problem. But when it comes to the gospel itself, why not actually do short form content that is just preaching the gospel without filming me doing the thing over
or
here?
Answering the questions, right? Answering the common.
Right.
Atheist questions or the common Islamic questions. Like, to me, I'm like, that's good, right? Like, yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, it is good. And here's the thing, for those that, like, I have mixed feelings on this. Yeah, Peyton Jones controversial? No, but I have mixed feelings. There's a piece of me that says, you know what, we're all meant to call to preach the gospel. But there's a lot of people out there that have not studied to show themselves approved. So, like, there are times I'll come across a video and I'll be like, oh, heavens, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers. Not only for the stricter judgment, but you're just doing an awful job at this. And if this is what's circulating in the name of Christianity, heaven help us. Not saying God can't use it, but we do need, I think, to a certain degree, I haven't thought through the implications of this, but I do think to a certain degree, there needs to be a almost like a standard, like either study, like I watch a young influencer today where he was walking through Proverbs. And I was like, he did a pretty good job. Like, I'm happy with that. I can tell he hasn't been to seminary. I don't mind that. I don't think you got to go through seminary. But I wonder what we're heading into in the age of, in an age like this about accountability and about false teaching. It's always going to be a problem. As soon as you give people freedom to go out and be witnesses, you open the door for false teachers. First century church did. You can't stop it, right?
Well,
you can stand
for
against
sure.
it, though.
I mean, I would argue there are pastors that you and I would call mega church pastors that are false teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. I mean, so
you're never going to stop it. But I do think, you know, one of the things, funny enough, because I'm wondering about what to do, but I know that the gospel in a distracted age has to be preached. And you brought up short form content. What if your church, this is where I see pastors kind of blow it a lot. Every short form content is this. Hey, I'm so excited. Today's Sunday. Can't wait. We're going to be over here at Redemption Church and can't wait to see you guys at 10 a.m. I'm going to be preaching on this. And it's like, you didn't sway anybody right then to come to your church. Most likely that was not like, people weren't like, I wasn't thinking of going to church, but then I saw you're going to be in Proverbs chapter 20. Well, that changes things. I think I'll go. I think, you know, really, the short form content should be the gospel, or like you said, and not just every time, you know, here's the gospel in 30 seconds. Here's a gospel in 2 minutes. I like what you said. Bring out different facets of the gospel through responding to something, through interacting with something. And be careful, because recently I saw a prominent person speaking about Taylor Swift. And speaking against Taylor Swift. And someone sent me the clip, and I got to be honest, it was such a pharisaical clip, because it just all it did was criticize Taylor Swift. You know, could she be a Christian? No, she can't be a Christian. Here's why. Now, I'm all for talking in general, but when you take a specific individual and who you don't know, who you've never talked to, a celebrity, and you rake them over, you drag them out into the public, who are you like? You're like the Pharisees who dragged the woman out, caught in adultery, out in front of a crowd, and you're basically saying, this is what the Bible says to do with her, right? And Jesus is not going to treat her that way. So as you're making your short form content, try not to be a Pharisee about it, right? Because that's what Pharisees do. They like to, everything's public, and they like to bring out into the open other people's sins, not their own. If you want to talk about your own sins, that's probably a good move in short form content.
Well, that's the reason why, like I said it before, I hate it when, you know, pastor friends of mine, because of this podcast, I got a lot of pastor friends on Facebook, and they'll be ripping on someone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't even know that person, man. Like, and it really bothers me when it's other pastors, right? Like, to me, I'm just like, dude, what is, like, and I've told you this, there are some people I had to click the unfollow button. And like, we're still Facebook friends, but I'm like, I cannot see your stuff coming up in my feed because it gets me upset. Because I'm like, you're just ripping on people and it's just wrong. Like, it's just wrong the way you're doing it.
Yeah. No, I look at this stuff and I think, you know, if at the end of the day, you're going to preach a gospel. And this is what I do think. I think short form content, you need to be doing it. It needs to be, if you're a church planner, it should be little messages of hope. It should be dealing with things like guilt. You know, I like what you used to say, Pete. You used to say, and I know you would still say it if we were having these conversations today, enter the conversation people are already having. Yep. So people are having conversations about their kids, protecting their kids, or having conversations about their own guilt, their own addictions. They're having conversations about, I don't know what happens to me when I die. And if you're going to do like short form content for your church plant, you can target that geographically and you can start targeting not for a church service or a product, but you can start just giving little messages of hope. This is what will be more effective than, hey, can't wait to see it today at 10 o'clock at Redemption. What actually would be better is you give them a bite-sized gospel, a message that they go, that was awesome. I want to hear more of that. So not long ago, I was in conversation with someone who he's pretty high up in the military. And I was like, wow, like dude can almost run a base. And I remember sitting down and talking with him at a Starbucks, and he found out as a minister and he wanted to talk to me. Our kids go to school together. And the reason why was he said, you know, my job is tough. And sometimes when I was driving on to base, I would flip through the radio and I'd come across Christian radio station. There's just something about it that he said, it would make me not feel alone. Like if God's real and what this guy's saying is true, then I could, he said, that's how I started learning to pray. Just popping some Christian radio on. And at the time I met with him, he wasn't a Christian, but he was God conscious because he was hearing little short bits and, you know, like 10 minutes. That's basically your average, radio show broadcast. It's pretty much a clip, bunch of commercials. And my buddy does this for a living. It's about 10 minutes of the sermon total, all said and done. So that's what he was hearing. And I know 10 minutes nowadays considered long form content, but think of that approach and what that did to him. And apply that to your church plant. You need to get attention. I'm not saying dress up in cosplay and do your thing, but Pete, any tips on how to grab attention nowadays?
Well, like you said, it's entering the conversation that's already going on in people's minds. So we talked about this on a couple of different episodes in the past. You know, I think one of the ways that you could reach people, let's say you're doing a series because you pastors love doing series. on marriage. You know, I would be doing stuff on how to stop your divorce. And the reason why I bring that up, so there's a great marketer by the name of Dean Jackson, probably not saved. I don't know him, but I would guess he's not saved. And he used to have a website called stopyourdivorce.com. And he made a bunch of money off of that, just like passively, because he knew that in every divorce, usually one of the people doesn't want the divorce. One of them's like fighting to stay in it. And so by targeting that person, hey, I'm going to teach you how to stop your divorce, you're getting in the conversation. And I always looked at that going, man, what a great way to enter that conversation and bring it back around to God. Like, to me, I look at that, and I'm like, that is a phenomenal strategy. So like, if I were doing a series on that, like, let's enter the conversation going on in someone's mind. If we're doing something on marriage, hey, look, we're going to talk about, you know, three ways to stop your divorce or something like that. And again, you're just entering the conversation. Here's what we're going to be talking about, this, this, and this. And we're going to go into these in a lot more detail and show you how you can apply these. And you'll get people who will show up who aren't believers, who are like, well, I just kind of want to know, like, give me these tips. Give me this insight. And see, now you're invited to the table. Now you're invited to the table to actually share with people what could possibly stop their divorce, right? Like how God wants to work with them in their lives, how God wants to be with them. But you got to enter that conversation first. So it's not about us. And that's why, again, I think I really like J. Warner Wallace's stuff, because he's just like, you know, he's taking it from an apologetic standpoint. You know, people bring up, how can we trust the Bible? You know, this was put together by men over centuries. You know, they get their own thoughts in there, right? And he will address those in such a way where it just is thought-provoking. And you're like, oh, well, that's how it was done, right? As opposed to just listening to what everybody's saying. So again, I would just like pick the problem that you want to tackle and talk about the problem and that there are solutions to it. You're going to be talking about those solutions. And maybe it's to invite them to church. Maybe it's not to invite them to church. Maybe you're just going to, hey, look, I'm just going to be an evangelist. I'm just going to be putting this content out there. And this is, you know, as Bob Goff would say, you got to pick a fight. And you picked one with, you know, human trafficking. And so you're just going to go after that one. Whatever it is, like, pick your fight.
Yeah.
And go for it.
Yeah. Make sure it's the right fight, right? Like, that's the key. And make sure that the gospel is laced. And what you're talking about, like if your whole thing, like if your whole deal on social media is to pick apart other people, I don't think there's a need for you. You know, you might say, well, I have a need for money and this is the fastest way to get views. That's fine, but don't include God in it. You do that on your own, right? Like don't embroil God into that kind of mess, right? The Bible's pretty clear. Avoid foolish and stupid controversies or arguments, right? Like, stay out of them and stay in your lane. Like, if you're called to preach a gospel, right? Kind of like, Rowdy Roddy Piper back in They Live. I'm here to preach a gospel and chew bubble gum. And, well, I'm all out of bubble gum. He didn't say that. He said, I'm here to kick butt and chew bubble gum. But he was all out of bubble gum.
That was Rowdy Roddy Piper?
That was Roddy Piper, dude.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's such a great 80s film.
Dude, that is a classic 80s film. It holds up. That was the sunglasses, right? Where they'd be like, what?
It was the biggest B movie, like total B film, but awesome. Like even I remember watching it going, if this thing had a higher budget, it would be a blockbuster. Like, it was that good. It was a low budget. And it was one of those low budgets where, like, dude, they missed an opportunity with this one.
That's
anyways,
awesome.
That's my piece on war. So, hey, guys, this has been Evangelism in a Distracted Age. A couple principles. Grab attention. Make sure you're fighting the right fight. Preach the gospel. That means get the message out. Speak to people's felt needs. Enter the conversation they're already having. And you can do the little blurby church thing if you want, but do it sparingly. Don't make that your only short form content. And with that, Pete, when you're doing all this social media and short form content, you need someone to handle the stuff that's taking you away from the books, right?
Well, it's funny you should mention that because who I've used is SimplifyChurch.com. Have you heard of them?
SimplifyChurch.com? That sounds amazing. It sounds like they do exactly what's on the label. Like, they simplify your church. Is that right?
It does sound like that, doesn't it? But actually, they make it much, much harder. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, actually, we don't recommend them at all. Stay away.
And we thought they couldn't get their ads any worse than they already were.
SimplifyChurch.com. Stay away.
Oh, no.
Oh, just joking. No, definitely go to them and check them out. They're awesome. And if you go, tell them that Peyton and Pete sent you. They will give you the royal welcome. They actually have a special deal for church planners. So make sure you ask about it. Tell them your church planner. Josh, the guy who started the company, was a church planner and definitely has a heart for church planners. That's why he reached out to us. So with that, Pete, we're done. Sign us out, baby.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you got to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.